You're listening to the UFO Files. We're in Roswell, New Mexico. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we have a fellow from Hawaii here, John Hamerick. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
You're going to have to get a little closer to that mic, John. You came all the way from Hawaii, or were you already over here?
Well, actually, I recently moved to Nevada, so...
Well, that's in one way it's similar, it's warm, but in another way it's totally different.
Right. I actually like the dry weather a little bit better than the humidity.
Now, you have a website, and I want you to give it on the air, and we have a link to it as well. First of all, give the website, and then tell me a little bit about what this is all about, what you do.
Okay, the website is www.etx2.org.
And what's it about?
It's basically... about the UFO phenomenon, the concept of extraterrestrials, and how it relates to the Bible and paranormal activity.
Now, when you got interested into this the subject, and you probably had an interest all your life, I take it, was the Bible part of it from the beginning?
Well, yeah, it actually was. I'll give you a little bit history of my testimony on how I got involved in this, but... I started out pretty young. I was probably about 6 or 7 years old in eastern Montana, where I grew up in a small town.
So you grew up in Montana, from birth or what?
Yeah, I was born in a town called Billings, and then I grew up in a smaller town in eastern Montana. And how I got involved in the UFO phenomenon started... when I used to have like sleepwalking type experiences, and I'm not even really sure if it was sleepwalking, but I would sometimes find myself in the middle of the night, like half a block away from my home.
Wow, that is walking.
Yeah, and so...
That's sleep traveling.
Right, and I knew something was terribly wrong, and it really bothered me, and UFOologists today probably would say, some of them would say, I was probably having abduction experiences. I'm not really sure what was happening to me, but I just knew it was bad. And I wanted it to end, and I would have nightmares, typical child that might think a monster's under the bed, etc., something like that. And then over time, and through some other experiences that I was involved in, and really thinking hard about the spirit realm and why I'm here, where am I going, what am I, you know, the typical questions people ask, philosophical questions, ask them. So I was asking those questions to myself when I was really young. And it got to a point where I didn't really want to live anymore. I was really, really bothered, and I was trying to figure out what life's all about. And I was introduced to... the biblical gospel, and I used to go to church with my parents to the Catholic Church, and I'd see the crucifix up on the wall, and I was trying to figure out what this was all about, and I was told that that's God who died for me. And eventually, one day when I was lacking a tremendous amount of sleep, I chose to just surrender. I didn't understand it. It really, the concept of hell really bothered me, that anyone could go there. And eventually I just had to surrender that there was a good God, and he had it all under control. And this Jesus who died on the cross, he died for me. And then my sleepwalking went away. And I didn't do that anymore. I didn't have the nightmares anymore.
Literally everything changed for you.
Yeah, my whole life changed, except... and then also that night, though, I had some type of spiritual incident... where I was actually had some type of a visitation.
Yeah, visitation from an angel or what?
Well, here's the thing. I remember remembering what had happened, but this was in the past. And then somehow the memory was actually like blacked out. It was actually like erased out of my memory.
You don't feel you were ever abducted, right?
No, I don't feel...
I mean, you have all of the symptoms, as you said.
Right. Well, the sleepwalking experiences was a type of abduction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one way or the other, something was taking over my body and doing something strange. And mm-hmm. I'd find myself half a block away in the middle of the night in my bare feet.
Now, I didn't mean to interrupt you on the train of thought on what you were talking about. We're talking about this incident now, or maybe it was incidents where you were visited correctly.
Right, and then, but my life had changed, and my focus now was on the Bible and reading the Bible and, you know, praying and worshiping this person called Jesus. But something had happened to me where, for some reason or another, I had an interest in the UFO phenomenon, and part of that.
Now, you weren't interested in the UFOs before your conversion.
Well, maybe I was. Maybe I saw a few program shows, they interested me. But now it really interested
now
me.
Now all of a sudden it becomes a mission or an impulse.
Right.
It's compulsive.
Yeah, and I used to watch a lot of Star Trek shows, and I can distinctly remember watching this one. Star Trek show called Bread and Circuses, and that one had to do with the Star Trek Enterprise had beamed down to this planet, and it was kind of like the Roman days, but in the 20th century or 21st century, where they had TV crews and everything like that. And in that time period, when the Star Trek Enterprise crew was down on this planet, they experienced something similar to what happened during the Roman times on Earth, where there was actually a Jesus who came and died for the sins of that planet.
I think I remember that episode.
Okay, yeah, it was probably a pretty popular episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they even had videotaped, kind of like the Colosseum, you know, where they used to persecute the Christians. They were doing that, but since it was in a time where they had TV film crews, they were actually filming it. Filming the persecutions.
I think it's interesting you bring up that particular episode because, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of controversy about whether or not this was anti-Christian or pro-Christian, this whole concept. But you, it had a positive effect on.
Well, it had both a positive and a negative effect. I wouldn't even say it's negative effect. But it got me really thinking about the concept of redemption and you know, did Jesus really have, if there are other planets with other beings, does Jesus have to go to all those other planets and die over and over again?
Which is a pretty normal question that people have that are religious that no one ever addresses in the UFO field.
Right. Well, actually, fortunately, they did today.
Okay.
In this Ancient of Days conference that I was just at,
mm-hmm.
in Roswell, New Mexico. But this really bothered me. I was really young, and I saw this as a problem within Christianity, that chances are Jesus wouldn't do this, and that when Adam and Eve, when Adam sinned. Now, I should tell you that I believe in I'm a creationist.
Okay.
And even though I have a science degree, I have a chemical engineering degree. And my involvement in the UFO phenomenon probably has damaged my career greatly. But anyways, going back to the movie, the movie shook me up a lot. And then it made me think that Jesus didn't have to do this over and over again, so there's something wrong here, even though Gene Roddenberry probably believed this was a possibility. That's why he wrote it. And then probably a few years later, I had a friend, a close friend of mine, whose father was an FBI investigator. And in Montana, eastern Montana and Montana area, there was a lot of cattle mutilations happening.
Okay. Right.
And we used to drive on these long roads. You'd drive 100 miles and not see a car, and you'd kind of have these weird thoughts about, you know, maybe you'd run into a UFO or you'd see a mutilated cow. And I even heard stories that I had an uncle who had some mutilated cows on his ranch. And after talking to my friend for a little while, he had told me that his father, who investigated these cattle mutilations, had a number of conclusions, and one of them was that it was possibly UFOs that were involved. Okay, so this just perked my interest, and I decided to study the UFO phenomenon even more. And also reading the Bible and learning about prophecy and eschatology, I I thought maybe the UFO phenomenon could be involved in some deceptive acts where it could deceive some of the Bible prophecies or be involved with some of the Bible prophecies.
And what's your opinion on that today?
Well, so that led me to eventually get more and more involved, and I ended up moving to Hawaii, where I and that was a job move for an engineering, and I ended up quitting that job because the project fell through that I was working on, and that was to convert sugarcane bagasse into paper pulp. And so since that project failed, I quit that project, and I decided to give a UFO talk in Hawaii. So I gave a 3-week talk on UFOs in the Bible. And
so you had a meeting every night or something, you mean?
It was one meeting.
That lasted 3 weeks?
Three weeks, not every night. It was once.
Yeah.
Once
okay, per week. Okay, yeah. Got you. I was going to say, surely you gave us a lunch break.
Okay. And I found that I had a lot of difficulty getting the church involved, especially the pastors. For some reason, this is a topic that they don't like to touch very much. But I managed to get an assistant pastor interested enough that he allowed me to do this through this particular church. And the pastor did not want to talk about, he didn't give the message to the congregation that I was giving this conference, but he allowed me to put a flyer in for a couple weeks. So I didn't think anybody was going to show up. I thought maybe just a couple people were going to show up, some of my friends, because they felt sorry for me. And ended up...
I imagine from the interviews I've done on this subject, you actually had a fairly large crowd show up.
Exactly. It was standing room only in this mm-hmm. one house.
Mm-hmm.
And there was people from all... There were scientists, PhDs. They just came out of the woodwork. It was pretty amazing. And... the conference went very well, and I should say, too, that it's kind of interesting because I had a girlfriend at the time who was kind of like a fiancé. We were planning to get married, and she was in the mainland U.S., and she had called me probably just a day before the conference and said she was going to break up with me. So that added to a little difficulty, but I decided to still do the conference.
Well, you know, as they say, and I'm not saying what you did was a show, but the show must go on. So when you make these meetings and you schedule them, you have to show up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I went on with the conference, and I categorized it into three categories: the evolution of the alien concept, and the arts and aliens, which is how the movies. How movies, the theater,
how they deal with it,
music, right. Everything, how they deal with it, and how it's grown over the years, and how that's influencing basically, you know, everybody in the Western world to believe in the alien concept. And then from there I went into the reality of the UFO phenomenon, the reality of abductions, whether they're actually physical or not, they're really happening. And then into how that's related to the Bible.
When you say the physical or not, it's still really happening. What do you mean? As far as they're concerned, it is a reality. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I mean, whether it's happening in the mind or it's happening physically, mm-hmm. it's really happening to them. I mean, I'm sure some of the people aren't, you know, might not be telling the truth, but the vast majority of them are really having experiences.
You know, I take it from the conversation we're having, and we've never met before, but I take it that you assume that, and you believe, and you are intent on improving, if you can, that the ET experience are not extraterrestrials at all, but maybe something else. Or do you believe in extraterrestrials as well?
Well, I see that as it's a possibility that... Now, you have to keep in mind that I'm a theist, so I believe that there's a God... An
yes.
all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent
right.
God. And he's the one that created the universe. Now, he could have created other beings on other planets. But you run into problems with that. And some of the biggest problems are when Adam and Eve sinned, it was supposed to affect the whole world negatively. In other words, entropy entered the whole universe, the whole cosmos. And so just try to imagine a planet where nobody fell in another solar system in another galaxy, and they're and all of a sudden they're dying, and their hair's falling out, and they're getting old, and they don't know what's going on, and they might, you know, seek out God and say, what's going on? And then God says, well, way over on this other planet called Earth, a person by the name of Adam and Eve sinned, and that's causing you to die. And see, that doesn't make any sense. So that's a big problem. And then there's other problems like, you know, Jesus having to go to planet to planet to planet to die over and over again. That's another serious problem.
So where are you at this point? I mean, you've been studying this topic for some time now. Where are you in the belief of UFOs and what people are seeing and feeling? Are they all demons or what?
Well, yeah, I lean that direction, and for a number of reasons, the abduction phenomenon is generally causes trauma. It's generally evil. It's sinister. It's deceptive. Even the so-called good experiences have like negative gospels or negative messages against the Bible, and so putting all these together, I see, and also, you know, the aliens, their messages too are to produce a new world order that, you know, is in opposition to Jesus and his followers. And so, yeah, putting all those together, you would come to the conclusion that, you know, demons could be involved.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're going to ramp up with a final segment. I've got a couple of questions I want to talk to you about and explore this a little more. I'm Jerry Pippin. This is UFO Files. Okay, now I want to do a six-minute segment.
Okay, so I'm trying to think... Oh, yeah, they talk a lot about disclosure today.
Yeah.
Which I have an interest in.
Okay. Okay, we'll get to that. John, we've got a couple of things I want to talk to you about what we've been talking about in the last segment. But first of all, before we get to that, disclosure, Stephen Bassett is a keynote speaker here at this particular conference. And he's been pushing for that. What are your thoughts about this disclosure issue? The government, is there anything to disclose? Do they know things? What do they know? What's your theory about it?
Well, yeah, definitely. If you listen to a number of the speakers today, they had lots of evidence showing that the government is definitely hiding something, not just our government, but other governments. And they're, one of the reasons they're doing it is because of the Brookings Report. In other words, the Brookings Report is saying that it could cause, and probably will cause, some type of social chaos, religious chaos within the world.
Well, that's one reason I'm asking you, because you already mentioned you're a creationist. You mentioned you're fairly fundamentalist, I would say.
Right. And I want to change subjects.
But at the same time, you're obviously an educated man and a scientific man, and you've been studying the subject, so you somehow put it all together to be able to live with it, and I'm trying to find out why and how.
Okay. Well, going back to my creationism studies, I want to say one thing that I'm a person that's affected me a lot in understanding the cosmos and starlight and time, which seems to bother a lot of people, especially secular people, in trying to understand creationism. I would hold to this theory by Dr. Humphreys on starlight and time, and I recommend you can go to, you know, like Amazon.com and look up a book called Starlight and Time, and he also has a video.
So you're saying there is an answer to the question about, well, man's only 10 or 20,000 years old, and the rocks are a million years old. You're saying there's an answer for that?
Well, see, I hold, yeah, there is an answer. There's actually a lot of answers.
Because the question I have about it, and first of all, you need to know I am a Christian.
Okay.
But I'm not a creationist. Not in the true sense of the word. Because you get in your car and you drive down here, and you're using oil that was developed over a period of millions of years, not thousands of years. So you take the book of Genesis and start trading back who begat, that doesn't prove anything.
Okay, well, in a quick nutshell answer to that is that there was a global flood. I really believe that. And a lot of other, even secular scientists are believing that too, because there's evidence that water covered everything. In fact, if you go to Hawaii, you can see evidences that the water covered the islands.
We talk about the polar shift on the show a lot of times. Hawaii may be the new North Pole, so things may be covered up by water again.
Well, anyways, the concept of a global flood is called catastrophism, and that if there was a Garden of Eden and the world was in this Pangaea state of a lot of vegetation and everything like that, then when the flood happened, a lot of catastrophism happened, and then oil was actually formed really fast. And then that's where we get the oil.
You think there's some scientific principle for that, huh?
Yeah, there's actually some. There's even evidence, as I've learned, that they're even finding trace amounts of human blood in oil, which could be from pre-flood people.
It could also be from people who've populated the earth before the asteroid hit and destroyed everything. I mean,
Possibly, there's many
ways. So, I mean, you know, I'm not here to debate creationism,
right?
Because you're entitled to believe it the way you want to. Like I say, I believe a lot of that is allegoric myself, because I believe science has the answers to most of these things, but I believe God gave us the reason to develop these things.
Right.
We all have a free will. We all have a way to do things.
I agree with you on the free will part. And And to get back to the starlight and time, though, this Dr. Humphreys has a theory that the cosmos was sort of it formed in its sort of a quasi Big Bang, where the Earth is basically, you know, close to the center of the universe. Okay, and then there was an expansion of the universe and a rotation at the same time, and using Einstein's theory of relativity, that would allow for the stars at the end of the universe would be very old, even though the Earth at the center would be relatively young.
Young. Right. Okay, let's get back. We, of course, would never solve this debate. And like I say, I'm not here to debate religion with anybody.
Okay.
I believe we all have a right to believe what we want to believe, and someday we'll all know.
Okay. But to get back on the UFO subject, so regarding disclosure, which was what we were talking about, disclosure, I believe, probably will happen, and it could either be from, you know, the government opening up about it, or it could be possibly from a reliable sighting that there's just, you know, lots of people videoing it.
Here again, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. I'm going to hold you over one more segment, if you don't mind. I'm still want to find out, disclose what, from your perspective. I'm not sure what the disclosure would involve from your perspective. I'll be back. This is Jerry Pippin. Very interesting show on the UFO Files. I don't take any offense to what I'm saying.
Oh, no, okay, that's great. Okay, I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was showing somebody, you see this word, video.
Because otherwise the host has an unfair advantage, you know. UFO Files with Jerry Pippin. We're in Roswell, New Mexico. We're having an interesting discussion here with John. John, what would they be disclosing in your mind?
Well, they would be disclosing the reality of the UFO phenomenon.
And what is that reality in your mind? Do you have a hunch even, or an idea? See, I think the reality, I'm a nuts and bolts guy. I think they just came in from someplace else, and they've got, and you can knock on their saucer, and they get out, and they fix it, and they leave. I think that's all there is to it.
Well, exactly. It'll probably be something like that, you know, maybe with some actual aliens involved.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, like I said, I don't necessarily believe that they're real aliens. They could be angels in disguise that actually take on a human form, because the Bible does say
that. And this entire hour, we have dealt with this. We had a couple of guests before you on, and we were talking about scriptures relating to UFOs, and we've had a couple of theories, and they're all similar but different in some ways because of this conference. And that's what this conference was exploring this idea, right?
Right, exactly.
And so what we've got a couple of minutes here. I'd like to kind of turn it over to you. You give me your best pitch here on what you feel at this point is happening? I mean, are these demons, are these people playing tricks? Are they good angels? Are they the best side of us, or they're the worst side? What's happening here? Is this from another dimension? Is this the thing the Bible talks about as far as demons and spirits, et cetera, et cetera? What are we talking about here?
Well, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, it talks about God in the end times. Now, when I say end times, I mean the end times as we know it, meaning that there's going to be a transition period to something better, he's going to send a powerful delusion, okay? Now, maybe he's already done that, and that's part of the disclosure, or God is going to do that. Perhaps it's going to be a message through SETI or something like that, or a spaceship in the ocean that's found. But that powerful delusion, which could be disclosure, is going to have a great effect on humankind. Okay, that's obvious. I mean, the movie Contact, there's a lot of movies about that. The movie Sphere.
Mm-hmm.
But in relation to Christianity, it's going to have a major effect on Christianity because it's going to challenge its core beliefs. And it's going to really shake up the church. Now, I think that's going to ultimately be for good, because Christians are going to have to really decide if they really want to serve Jesus wholeheartedly, or if they want to just go apostate. This could cause a great apostasy, which the Bible also says is going to happen. And I think a little bit after that, the Christian church is going to experience great trouble, great persecution, and then the rapture will probably happen. And now that rapture also probably will be deceived from the UFO phenomenon, since that's a core belief within the phenomenon that there's going to be a great evacuation.
And so you think that that's connected, and it could well be. So the disclosure, as far as you're concerned, may not be a disclosure at all. It may not be true what they're disclosing.
No. Definitely truth will come out of it, because they're going to disclose the reality of the UFO phenomenon, whether it's real aliens or demons. And of course, like you've heard in the show,
I don't see the government saying these are demons.
Right, but the government.
I mean,
is
I don't. Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't see them saying that even if they believed it. But because they're going to have a hard enough time saying, I believe these are extraterrestrial beings.
Right,
and that's going to be tough enough for them to say, but for them to say they're demons, I'm not sure politically that would be wise.
No, the government would not know that. The government would stay deceived in thinking that they're probably aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then ultimately that will lead to the futuristic belief that I have of dispensationalism, premillennialism, that, for instance, the book series Left Behind expound.
You know, we could talk forever on this. This is a subject I love to discuss, just like politics, but unfortunately the time has got us. Check out your website. You're going to get a book out, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm working on a book right now, and it's related to everything I've been talking about.
Okay, go ahead and give your website one more time.
Okay, my website is www.etx2.org.
We have a link to it, and we also have a picture of John here on our website. When you go to jerrypippin.com, click on that, and you can hear this interview over and over and over, and make your own mind up. This is Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening. We're in Roswell, New Mexico. Our producer has been Roberta Scott. Until next time, cheers. That's fine. We're going to have to edit anyway, because I put in an extra segment.